You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Today, we're diving into the world of socially conscious engineering. For decades, the civil engineering sector has been seen as one of bricks, mortar, and bitumen. But as we navigate 2026, the conversation has shifted because in this modern day and age, we no longer just need builders. We need innovators who can bridge the gap between technical excellence and socio-economic transformation. Patrick Zingeni is a man at the forefront of this revolution. As a director of Zingeni Consulting Engineers and Associates, he joins us now to present some much-needed, sustainable, innovative solutions that his organization is introducing in the built environment space. And I'm so excited to be having this conversation tonight. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
We are surviving by God's grace.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Tell us, before we get into what you guys are currently doing in this new year moving forward, what was the inception of Zingeni Consulting Engineers and Associates? What drove you out of normal corporate to starting your own practice?
I beg your pardon?
I was asking about the inception of Zingeni Consulting Engineers and Associates. What is it that drove you to start the consultancy?
Yes. Zingeni Consulting Engineers and Associates was started in 2002.
Okay.
It came as a result of one, seeing the need to play a meaningful role in the industry, not only being a passenger, but also being in the mainstream, where one will have the opportunity to contribute in the battle against the triplets of evil, poverty, unemployment, and inequality. That was the main purpose why Zingeni Consulting Engineers and Associates was formulated.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yes. The triplets of evil. I'd love for you to actually tell us how you define the role of a modern civil engineer in fighting these triplets of evil, being unemployment, poverty, and inequality. Because normally when people think about engineering, they think about it as a profession that they can make money in. But you're sort of positioning the civil engineer as an agent of change, as somebody who can fight these triplets of evil. So in what way do you see the modern civil engineer doing so?
Yes, indeed. In South Africa and Africa in general, civil engineers are key players in fighting unemployment, poverty, and inequality. We define our role as creating sustainable, innovative solutions that address these triplets of evil. This means designing projects that not only meet infrastructure needs, but also create jobs, empower local communities, and promote economic growth. By focusing on sustainable, innovative solutions, we create a ripple effect that benefits the environment, the society, and the community at large, and the economy.
Got you. Now, your projects place a heavy emphasis on job creation and SME development. How does Zingeni Consulting ensure that a massive infrastructure project translates into tangible growth for a local small business owner or an unskilled worker on the ground?
Right. On that one, at Zingeni Consulting, we ensure that our projects translate into tangible growth for local small business owners and unskilled workers through prioritizing local procurement and hiring, providing training and upskilling programs, creating opportunities for the SMEs to participate in our projects and also implementing inclusive business practices that promote economic empowerment. This is how we at Zingeni seek and do attend to the issues of job creation and SMMEs development.
Got you. Now, you've aligned your delivery compliance with the UN Sustainable Goals, which I think is such a great idea, because knowing where the UN is going and how it rallies behind projects that meet these sustainable goals, the chances of really getting spotlighted and possibly funded is very huge. So why is this global standard so critical for local infrastructure delivery in 2026?
The Sustainable Development Goals, they do provide a global standard for sustainable development. And aligning our projects with these goals ensure that our infrastructure delivery contributes to a broader agenda. Therefore, in 2026, this is critical because it helps us to focus on impactful, sustainable solutions that address present challenges like climate change, inequality, and access to basic services.
Yeah. Yeah. And which is the, which did you say the sustainable goal was?
Sorry?
Which did you say the sustainable goal was? Which number are you guys focusing on?
We looked at sustainable goal with regard to climate change.
Okay.
Which is very critical. Even today, our conventional methods of doing things are in a challenge because of the climate change. So when we benchmark ourselves, we need to align and seek to address the gap being and bridge it, which is brought about climate change, the challenges of inequality, and also access to basic services. That's also one of the critical sustainable goals which needs to be attained to ensure that our communities are accessible to basic services to be rendered unto them.
Got you. Let's talk about the pothole crisis. One of your standout solutions is the Ready Cold Mix pothole glue. We've seen many quick fixes fail. I mean, every time it rains in the country, there are potholes galore, and they come with the sand or they come with the tar, and it never really works. So what makes this a permanent solution, and how does it reduce the long-term maintenance burden for municipalities?
This is a solution which is a game changer because it is a permanent solution designed for the purpose of permanently addressing potholes, as it bonds well with existing materials. It is cost effective and easy to apply. It reduces long-term maintenance costs for municipalities. It also minimizes disruptions to traffic and daily life. It is true, potholes today, when they're being fixed, they only last as long as the next rain comes. Then the same pothole every year, municipalities are budgeting for the same pothole on the same spot. Mm. So our technology, the Cold Mix Pothole Glue, it comes to address and mitigate this gap. When you apply it, you won't come again anytime sooner. You will come after 5 to 10 or 20 years. Mm. So it permanently addresses the problem of potholes once and for all. Mm. This is the game changer we are bringing in the industry.
Yeah, and I'm curious about what is it called? Proof of concept. Have you guys tried this before elsewhere and it's proven to work? What are your thoughts around proof of concepts, and what data do you have that this is actually a permanent solution? Well, permanent as far as 5 years is concerned.
Okay. Proof of concept, I would say this technology had been tested and certified by the custodian of innovative technologies in the industry, which is AGRIMA, South Africa, or AGRIMA. Mm. So it is certified, number one. Number two, We have done some work with it in Botswana, in Lesotho, in Swaziland. Here in South Africa, we're still waiting for us to be certified with Agrima, which is now done. So now we are now ready for business to implement this technology in our country and make the impact and the difference. We are ready to do demonstrations. We are ready to go for business with this. And I'm confident this is the solution to our challenge of portals.
I love that. Have you started already? I'm curious to hear about what the initial work would look like. Are you looking to start in a certain municipality? Please just tell us about what your rollout plan is.
The rollout plan is we are now marketing the product to municipality, national departments of public works or Department of Transport on the roads, and also in other private client or private sector where we come with the DIU, do it yourself. It's also going to be rolled out within the outlets where it will be sold at different outlets for people to just come in, buy, and it is already in a dry premix packaged, and you just apply a little bit of water, mix on site, and fill in a pothole, you come back, it's very easy. But we are also flexible, going to be training people who will be utilizing, because some people say, some clients will be comfortable with it, just buying and storing and they use their resources to implement their pothole fixing teams. So we are flexible to train the pothole fixing teams and certify them how to use the product so that it can have a meaningful value to the client.
Mm. Yeah. You introduce Dustless as the most economic dust suppressant in the world. Beyond visibility on construction sites, what are the environmental and health benefits of this specific technology?
Environmental benefits that this product is environmental friendly. It's compliant to the environment. Again, this product, it comes at a time where it is needed most, because currently, according to the world standard, World Health Organization standards, we are expected to spray water on gravel roads or on dust areas at least twice or at least every 4 hours. But because South Africa is a water scarce area, we don't have the latitude of water. Then there were some technologies which were brought in, which will be applied just once a week or once in 10 days. But these technologies, they lack on environmental compliance, because they're oils which pollute the environment. Hence, dustless come into picture as a mitigating factor designed to address and bridge the gap. This product, you apply it once in 9 to 16 months, averagely once a year. You apply it, then it will last for the whole year without you seeing any dust coming out of it. That's how it is economical. That's why it becomes the most effective and efficient and the cheapest, most economical one in the world. And its pH content is 7, which is equivalent to that of water, which shows that it is as harmless and environmental friendly as water is. That's the beauty of this technology.
Which environments is it normally used in? Because I'm thinking construction, of course, road development. What other industries is it most useful in?
In the mines, it's very essential. In the mines, because there's a lot of haulage, a lot of dust generated. And also for stockpiling of coal.
Yes, yes.
You can actually cap them with the product to ensure that no dust is being emitted into the atmosphere. And also in the areas like, for example, when you are around deep blue or around Meadowlands, you see neighboring those old mines heaps, there's a lot of dust in those areas. So this technology can also be utilized to suppress the dust from those old gold dunes, which is a torment to the nearby communities because of dust. It is a solution. The beauty of it is that you apply it once and for all. Then you are done.
Wow.
In a year. Yes.
Beautiful. Wastewater treatment. It is a major hurdle for many developing regions. Can you explain the Vitone sludge dewatering technology? How does it improve the efficiency of wastewater plants compared to traditional mechanical methods?
Right. Vitone sludge dewatering technology is a technology which improves the wastewater treatment efficiency by high efficiency sludge volume reduction, significantly lowering disposal and transport costs, by increasing treatment capacity and reducing energy consumption, operational reliability and simplicity, particularly valuable for municipalities which are facing some skills and capacity constraints. This is a way to go. Most importantly, this technology also is designed to support the full compliance with South Africa's GNR 636 regulatory framework, which deals with or governs the classification, the handling, the treatment and disposal of wastewater sludge. So this technology is the state of the art in essence of, you know, making efficient utilization of our ponds by desludging and dewatering the sludge so that it could be able to achieve the objective of efficiency within the system. And the sludge which will be dewatered can actually be utilized as a raw material for other improvement of beneficiations, other activities which can be utilized from it, which is generation of industrial opportunities for SMMEs development and local improvement beneficiation within the industry.
Which is very good because we are in this, I don't want to call it a wave, but where the country is going, at least where the continent is going, actually Africa, the focus now is beneficiation and making sure that we derive the most value from the minerals that we do have and mine on the continent. So I think this is really, really great as a solution.
Yes.
Now, with the increasing frequency of extreme weather events, how are these specific technologies, like the polymer binders, designed to help our infrastructure withstand the effects of climate change?
Right. On that regard, our technologies like binders, polymer binders, they are designed to help infrastructure withstand extreme weather events by providing durable, flexible, and resistant materials, and also reducing maintenance needs and costs. For example, on the roads, immediately when you've done your road using the normal way of building roads, conventional methods, after 3 to 5 years on an asphalt road, we need to come and do fog spray to rejuvenate the binder. Otherwise, it will start cracking and start forming potholes. Then after that, around 7 to 10 years, you have to do resealing. Around 10 to 15 years, you have to do rehabilitation. Around 20 to 25 years, we have to do complete raw overhaul of the road. But when we use our industrial polymer binder for doing the same work, it actually reduces the maintenance cost. Because in year 10, if there's any small scratch, crack visible on the road, on the surface, you just add the binder on it, then it what it binds it again. Then it's, in the long run, that's the cheapest technology to go. and even the construction of it at capital construction level, it is actually around 50% cost savings which can be realized compared to the conventional method. And it's even quicker in terms of doing the road. So these technologies are designed for resistance and resilience in the climate conditions we're exposed to, and also the maintenance over the project life cycle is very empowering. Mm. And it also enhancing infrastructure resilience and adaptability. So these technologies, they are also called mix. Unlike other technologies which are being applied on what, 70 degrees Celsius, all our technologies, they are called mix, hence labor intensive. Labor can be taken advantage of optimizing labor usages on these things because it's not what application limitation applied to it. That's the beauty of these technologies. They are designed for that and they seek to achieve the objectives of job creation, poverty alleviation, and unemployment contribution towards the fight against unemployment and inequality.
You know, we often have the technical skill as professionals and as people who've done some technical training or vocational training. But what we lack is the capital. And so I'd love for you to talk about how Zingeni Infrastructure Project's financing bridge model actually helps bridge the gap between a proposed social project and its final execution.
Yes, indeed. The wallet is always a challenge. It has constraints and challenges to address the needs of projects within the country. Therefore, our model bridges the gap between proposed social projects and execution by providing innovative financing solutions and partnership, by de-risking projects for investors, and also ensuring sustainable, impactful delivery. So the gap, we're actively involved in addressing this gap because we have seen that the demands which is there far outspan the available budget at annual level. Hence, we are bringing in this gap to address the challenge. And beautifully so, as we are already in there, currently there's a municipality which we have successfully solicited funding of 15 billion for the next 15 years to address its water and sanitation master plan implementation delivery. Mm. This is already something which is practically at the end implemented through this very project of bridging the finance gap. Mm. So we are already working on that every year for 15 years. A billion will be brought into the project to do and recover and reinstate our infrastructure to a state whereby it addresses the needs as per the constitution.
Oh, wow. So good. So good. If you were in a room with government officials and private investors right now, what is the one innovative leap that they need to take to solve our infrastructure backlog once and for all?
Right. On that one, government officials and private investors should take a bold step towards collaborative, integrated planning and financing. This means breaking silos and working together across sector, embracing innovative technologies and build business models, prioritizing sustainable and inclusive growth. Last week, we were actually at the IBT, which is Infrastructure Innovative Building Technologies Summit, where we're showcasing our technologies. Mm. The opening remarks was very significant, which was issued, stated by the hosting premier. He indicated that it was not because they ran short of stones, hence, the Stone Age you have to pass. But it was because of innovation which paved way for the next age, which was Iron Age. Even today, stones are still there, but we are no longer in Stone Age. Mm-hmm. So Iron Age also was paved way for another industrial age. Mm-hmm. And industrial age paved way for information and technology age. So already we can see that the technology is a gateway through which we can address unemployment challenges, address inequality challenges, address poverty challenges, address even the financial limitations which are a constraint in our conventional way of doing things. Technology, and the more innovative it is, the better and the merrier it is.
And for the young entrepreneur, the young engineering graduates who's listening right now, who wants to follow in your footsteps, what is the mindset that is required to move from being just a builder to being an innovator?
All right. For the young engineer, I will say that there's a need to move from being a builder to an innovator focus by focusing on embracing challenges as opportunities, staying curious and open to new ideas, collaborating and learning from others, prioritizing impact and sustainability. Start thinking out of the box. Actually, destroy the box so that it won't even be a reference point. Because problems of today, unemployment, poverty, and inequality, they are no longer in the box. They are now out of the box. So to solve them, we need to be out of the box and address those things. That's the mindset young engineers are expected to be having in today.
And what are your strategic objectives in 2026? What is the thing that you are focusing on? What is the thing that you are going to be moving forward with for the rest of this year? What can people look forward to from Zingeni Consulting Engineers and Associates in 2026?
In 2026, Zingeni Consulting wants to have a footprint and an impact in each and every province within our country, whereby we will be actively contributing to job creation, contributing to SMME development, which is also alleviating the challenge of inequality, and also finding ourselves making an impact in the SADC region, which is within our region. So those are the many key objectives. And additional to that, we want to see ourselves manufacturing the key products, raw materials locally, because we are currently giving our partners in Australia, which are giving us, supplying us with the polymer itself. But the bulk of the material, raw material, is aggregate, which we use locally. But we want to manufacture the binders locally. We are already engaging with the suppliers so that Zingeni can get the licenses and all the PIs to ensure that we own the manufacturing processes locally, which also have an impact in job creation locally.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely. All the best for this new year. Thank you so much for the education and the awareness and the work that you are doing in making our country better. I think infrastructure is such an economic driver that if we get it right, it opens the doors to everything else. Good infrastructure means good trade. Good infrastructure means efficiency in traffic. So our economy really improves when our infrastructure improves. So thank you for the work that you are doing and all the best for this year.
Thank you very much. Sustainability is the way to go.
100%. Thank you. 100%. Good evening. Good night, rather.
Same to you and the listeners. Bye.
Bye. And with that, I am Nompumelelo Lombonani, and I hope you have made sense of your business. We are having an early night tonight. It is a school night after all. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.